السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers, this ayat of the Quran Sharif we have heard so many times, and with regards to the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also we have heard many times. If you look at the deen of Islam, it is nothing but remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the fulfillment of His orders, His laws, His commands, and the fulfillment of the commands and orders of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Islam is also the love of Allah ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whether you look at salat, it is the desire of man, he wants to communicate with his beloved. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity, get into salat and you are communicating with me. If you have to go into the details, as the person is reciting Surah Fatiha, with every ayat there is a response from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So salat, when he is going into sajda, it is as if he is at the feet of his beloved Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There is nothing but communication in there. We are reciting sana, then we are reciting Surah Fatiha, then we are reciting Quran Sharif, then we are reciting tasbihat. Everywhere it is the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, it is a sign of the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala. So namaz is not like a burden that is placed on our shoulders that we have to make it. If we don't make it, we're going to go to Jahannam. That was not the purpose of namaz. Allah ta'ala wants to give us the opportunity to communicate. Then many a times a person forgets his eating and drinking and everything else when it comes to love of someone. He forgets everything. Whether it is the love of someone or the love of his business or the love of anything else for which he has a passion, then many a times the person forgets even his eating and drinking. How many times they say, I even forgot to have lunch, I even forgot to have supper. Why? Because the person was so busy. Customers were flooding the businesses. Christmas time it was. Now he didn't even bother about his lunch. Yet he couldn't do without lunch. So that is love, a passion for something. Then look at the people that have got a passion for running, they're running the marathon, they forget everything. They don't worry about any kind of pain. They don't see the weather condition. They don't see anything. So Allah Ta'ala also gave us the fasting in His muhabbat, that the person is fasting out of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, one of the promises that has been made on fasting is that Allah Ta'ala Himself becomes ours, the person who is fasting. Allah Ta'ala says, I become His. That is one of the meanings given. Now again, that's a subject, but we don't want to discuss that. I'm telling you that fasting also is not like some kind of a burden that Allah Ta'ala placed on our shoulders and we say that if you don't fast then you go to Jahannam. Indeed, there is punishment also, but that is not the purpose. We should not be looking at it in that line, that if we're not going to fast, we go to Jahannam, we go to hellfire. Even if there was no hellfire, then still it would have been the desire of a person that in the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, sometimes he forgoes even his meals. So Allah Ta'ala gave us that opportunity that from dawn to sunset, give up your eating, drinking and carnal passions for my pleasure. Then it is always the desire of a person that he wants to spend. If there is a person who doesn't want to spend on his beloved, then he is a liar. He is a cheat. If the person says, I dearly love you, my wife, but I won't spend anything on you. Is that love? Then it will become like that example which you have heard many times, that there was a person who had a whole basket full of bread. There was a dog nearby which was about to die. So this person was sitting there and shedding tears. It's an example that is given. He was shedding tears. So he was asked that, why are you crying? He says, because this dog is dying of... Say, why is this dog dying? He says, dying of starvation, no food. So what have you got in the basket? They say, in the basket there's bread, there's meat. So say, if you got so much of love for the dog, then why don't you feed the dog which is dying of starvation? Say, the problem is this, that I paid for the meat and the bread. The tears I didn't pay for, it's free. So now that person, can we say, he's got true love? So therefore Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, there's not love. If the person had love, then he would spend on the beloved. So like that, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says he's got love for Allah ta'ala, so therefore now he must spend. So Allah ta'ala sometimes makes zakat farz on him. So again, it's not like a burden and an imposition. The person must be happy and willing. He must not keep counting that so much went out of my business for zakat purposes, and so much went in sadaqah, and so much went in fidyah, and so much went in qurbani, and so much went in hajj, and so much went in this. Now what kind of muhabbat is there where the person is now calculating all the time how much of money is spent on this and how much of money is spent on that? In the love of Allah Ta'ala, the person is spending and is not going to be at a loss also, because there are promises that the moment he gives, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala replaces. And not only replaces the same amount, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala multiplies it 10 times and much, much more, sometimes 700 times. In rewards. Sometimes a person gets the same thing multiplied. Sometimes he gets other benefits and ni'mats and bounties. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala removes some big, big calamities and disasters that we're going to face him, on which he would have spent hundreds of thousands of rands. So the person is never at a loss if he is giving with willingness, with happiness. So the zakat also, we can see that it is for the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. It is not as an imposition like a fine that we have to pay. One of the signs of Qiyamah is that zakat will be considered as a fine. People will pay zakat, but it will be like how you pay speeding fines. So like that, we'll say that this is like a fine we are paying. Allah Ta'ala make us maaf, but this is something I'm telling you the truth, and we are in the house of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That we were sitting in Mina many, many years ago, and one person, after he had had some difficulties in his hajj, so then he said, Maulana, how many times is hajj farz in a lifetime? I said, hajj is farz once. However, it doesn't mean the person must make it only once. If Allah Ta'ala takes him, and if he's got the ability, and he's got the strength and health, he must make. So he says, I made this one hajj, and that is the end of it. I'm not coming back here again. I said, Allah Ta'ala is not in need of you coming back here. There are millions of people waiting to come here. Whether you come or don't come, Allah Ta'ala is not in need. Now he must have had some problems with his agents who gave him rough time. So now he says, I'm not going to come back again. Thereafter he says that as far as zakat is concerned, we start discussing some masail of zakat. Somebody asked a question about zakat in Mina, in one of the tents there. So I was explaining the masla of zakat. This person says that, Maulana, you mean we must pay, that time there used to be GST. Say, so you mean we must pay GST, we must pay rates and taxes, we must pay this tax, that tax, this, so many kinds of taxes, and one more tax, zakat, we must pay. Say, so I don't pay any zakat. Now these are the kind of people making hajj. So will they be the ones regarding whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the haji's dua is accepted, and for those whom he makes dua, it is also accepted. Therefore, ask the Haji Sahib who is returning to make dua for you. Now, will these be the people? So, whilst there are so many people, alhamdulillah, we make dua, Allah Ta'ala accept everybody's hajj. But there is a need that before the person goes from here also, there must be some kind of spiritual training. Otherwise, the person just goes there and comes back sometimes worse than what he went. Because there are more temptations there nowadays than even here. Here we don't walk in the midst of so many women. In the masjid here, we came any woman here. But there in the tawaf, we are making tawaf. There are millions of others making tawaf. There are how many women there from different countries of the world with pretty faces. Now that's where the temptation is coming, to look at those pretty faces. Now this Haji Sahib, he is making tawaf, but in the meantime, he is staring at the faces of those women. One person told my Shaykh, he said, they in Makkah Sharif. He said, look at these women that come from Indonesia. They were all white. And their faces are white too. Look at the noor on their faces. They say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You saw the noor on their faces. You couldn't see it on the Kaaba Sharif. So now was this person watching noor? Look at how Shaitan made a fool of him there. So this zakat also is for the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Hajj, the whole thing from the beginning to the end, is nothing but love of Allah ta'ala. Hajj from the beginning to the end is nothing but love of Allah ta'ala. So we should not consider these fara'is as some kind of imposition upon us, some kind of burden upon us, some kind of mountain on our shoulders, and keep on saying that it is only for the sake of fulfilling a duty and an obligation. And if there had been no such thing as punishment of Allah ta'ala and fire of Jahannam, then I would not have even performed my namaz. Na'uzu billah. Is that what namaz, roza, zakat, hajj was for? So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Fazkuruni azkurkum. Remember me, I will remember you. Everywhere there is remembrance. That is the life of a Muslim. There is remembrance in every move of his. Therefore those people who are in the habit of smoking, I keep on saying that look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected the person's mouth in the mother's stomach from the blood of menses which the child is nourished with. When the mother falls pregnant, then the blood is stopped. Now that blood becomes nourishment for that child. But it goes through the umbilical cord. Allah Ta'ala protected the mouth. Because this mouth of this mu'min and Muslim was going to be used for zikrullah, for tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Every now and again he would have had to say subhanallah. Then insha'Allah. How many times a day we have to say insha'Allah? I will meet you there 3 o'clock, insha'Allah. My brother is arriving from Hajj tomorrow afternoon, insha'Allah. I will be going and closing a deal tomorrow morning, we have to say insha'Allah. Now so much of times you will be saying insha'Allah. So many of times you will be saying masha'Allah. Our child became very pleasing. We say masha'Allah. The wife did something, cooked something very delicious, we say masha'Allah. The child read very well, or the business flourished, or some good news we got, we're making masha'Allah. Then suddenly we hear somebody passed away, somebody drowned, somebody died, somebody's house got burned, somebody's car got hijacked, we say inna lillah, inna lillah, inna lillah. Every time we are saying something, we are taking the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected this mouth in the mother's stomach from the filth, and yet we use that same mouth to smoke those cigarettes and cause such kind of odor that sometimes the musalli standing next to the person does not even concentrate on his salat. Now that is with regards to smoking. But to put it across to you very, very discreetly, how many other filthy things people are using their mouths for? Is that the appreciation the person has shown of this Mubarak tongue that Allah Ta'ala gave, that we use it for filthy purposes, and they keep asking the question, is that permissible? Is it permissible? This tongue which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protected, the mouth which He protected in the mother's stomach, now is this what we are going to use it for? So, Fazkuruni Azkurkum. It was there for the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We remember Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with our eyes, with our ears, with our hearts, with our hands, with our feet. Everywhere there has to be a remembrance. There is some kind of remembrance. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from morning till evening. Different kinds of du'as He is teaching us. Before you entering the toilet, there is a dua. When you come out from there again, dua. Now the person is going toilet so many times, is making wuzu so many times, is eating so many times, is drinking so many times. So many things he is doing. In fact, anything and everything that he is doing, there is a remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sometimes he's reading, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahi wa la barakatillah. Sometimes he's reading, Alhamdulillah, Allazi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana minal muslimin. Sometimes, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal khubuthi wal khaba'is, before entering the toilet. Now all these kind of du'as that he's making, what is he going to use? He's going to use his tongue. So therefore, my brothers, if you've got the bad habit, then give it up, give it up. Think of that even the angels are distancing themselves from us when we are going to make our mouths filthy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the purest and the cleanest, there was no question of any smell or any kind of odor even in his feces. That is reported in the Hadith Sharif. Fragrant smell wherever he went. But yet he is making miswak, whole day miswak, after wuzu miswak, before wuzu miswak, before eating miswak, after that miswak. Why is he doing all that all the time? He's teaching us a lesson. So that came away by the way, but what I was explaining is that everything that you look at of Islam, there's nothing but love for Allah Ta'ala. And why should we not have that love? Because he is our benefactor. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. Who is the one that is sustaining us? We have got absolutely nothing on our control. It's a world of means. So therefore we are making use of the means. It's a world of means. Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters of the ocean. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us so many ni'mats. It's all a world of means. So we make use of the means. But the trust and the faith must be solely in Allah Ta'ala. Last night in the majlis I mentioned of the incident which took place yesterday or day before yesterday, where that young student from Kenya, he spent 5 years here in the Cape Town University. He qualified, graduated. Now there was a graduation ceremony. So he invites his father, his mother, his sister, brother, they all come down. Now the graduation ceremony is going to take place this week or next week. They were taking a beautiful drive. Cape Town scenery is very beautiful. Accident took place. All passed away. All. Now all bodies are in the mortuary. Now they want to know what do we do. All bodies are in the mortuary because they say somebody has to identify. And there's no family member here that can identify the bodies. So now the grandparents are going to fly over from Kenya to come to identify the bodies of all these people. Now they became shaheed. Alhamdulillah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them a form of shahadat. In an accident, if a person dies, it's a form of shahadat. Martyrdom. They will get Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give their family members sabre jameel, ajre azim. And for all others also who lost their close ones, kith and kin, and family members. But look at the lesson that they leave behind for us. 5 solid years of studies at a university. Now when it's time for graduation and celebration, suddenly the person is gone. And not only gone himself, gone with his father, mother and everybody. Therefore, my brothers, repeatedly I've mentioned this, take a lesson, take a lesson. Don't leave evidence of sins on your computers, on your cell phones, in your files and in your bags and in wherever you can find. Don't leave evidence of sins in your cupboards. We all have got very, very high hopes that we are going to live very, very long. Nobody has thinks that he's going to go tomorrow or the next second. Everyone who's going for a drive believes he'll complete the drive and come back home. Everyone that goes to China and goes to Japan and goes to America and goes to Europe or any other part of the world, he believes that he will go there and he'll come back. Everyone that goes for Hajj also, he believes he'll go there and he'll come back. That is our nature, that we truly believe we will go and come back. And there's nothing wrong planning ahead. You have to plan ahead, there's nothing wrong. If a person says that I'm planning for the Christmas season that's coming, so therefore I'm stocking up and I'm making purchases, nothing wrong with that. But to trust that we will live to see that day, that is our weakness. Therefore I say, don't leave evidence of sins. How many cases of this nature which I just mentioned has happened? Now these people, we have great hope in Allah Ta'ala, will give them Jannatul Firdaus, but I'm talking about ourselves. And incidents that have taken place in our country and other parts of the world, where suddenly the husband, the wife and the children all disappeared. Finish. One accident, all gone. One earthquake, all gone. One tsunami, all gone. Now they are gone. Now who is going to enter the homes of these people? Total strangers are going to enter the homes. And sometimes family members will enter the home because the husband and wife both died. Husband thought, if I die, my wife will clean out the cupboard and remove all the skeletons from there. And the wife thinks, if I go, then my husband is going to sort things out. Now both went away. And sometimes the children gone too. Now when they enter the home, what do they find? They find the same people who they thought were pious, righteous sometimes. Or they were very, very highly educated with chain of degrees and walking with great show and pomp on the surface of the earth. Now suddenly when they're gone, now strangers, total strangers enter those homes, they take the computers, they take the cell phones, They take everything that is there, the photographs that are there, the evidence that is there of all those illicit love relationships. And then it is exposed for the world to see. Especially those who are making Hajj and coming, and those who have made Hajj. Remember that the touching of the Hajr Aswad is the touching of a touchstone. It's a touchstone. If the person made sincere sawbah, that now I will delete all those things from my cell phones and from my computers and from whatever place I may have got it recorded and kept, all those pictures and all those other dirty things that I had, I'm going to destroy it totally. Oh Allah, forgive me, I've come to your house to beg of forgiveness. Then inshallah the person will be saved. Therefore Ghalib said, Tum kis muh se Kaaba jaoge? Ghalib, sharm tumko magar nahi aati. Oh Ghalib, with what face are you going to go to the Kaaba Sharif? Don't you feel ashamed? So Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that Ghalib made people become despondent. He's making the people lose hope in Allah Ta'ala's mercy. So I have changed that and I've said, Main isi muh se Kaaba jaunga, sharm ko khaak mein milaunga. I will go with the same face of mine to the Kaaba Sharif. As far as shame is concerned, I will put it into the ground, bury it under the ground. But then what will I do there? Ro ro ke unko manaunga, apni bigdi yun banaunga. I will cry at the Kaaba Sharif and say, Oh my Allah, I have come with all my dirt and all my sins. My heart is filthy and dirty and stained and blackened. But I have come here and I seek forgiveness for all my sins. And thereafter, if it is the rights of the people which he trampled before going from here, it was monies that were owing to people. It was injustices that had been done to the wife, to the children, to the neighbors or anybody. Then just crying at Arafat, you can cry and cry till doomsday there. But all those sins are not forgiven until the person makes an effort to pay back to whomsoever whatever is due, and also to ask for forgiveness from those people who have been caused injury and harm. So Allah Ta'ala will forgive that sin then. So what I was saying is that that's a touchstone. That Allah Ta'ala will conceal the sins of a person. If he keeps on making istighfar, he'll conceal. There, once he touches that stone, or kisses the Hajr Aswad and comes back, the black stone, if he hasn't made sincere tawbah and he's got no intention of completely changing his lifestyle and reforming himself and now going straight and abstaining himself from all those haram things that he was indulging in, then within a short period of time, believe me, the world will come to know. His family will come to know, his friends will come to know that this person is a womanizer. Yet they didn't know. For the 50 years he didn't go for Hajj, they didn't know. Now they will come to know he's a womanizer. Now they will come to know he's a gambler. Now they will come to know he's an interest taker. Now they will come to know that this person has done so much of injustice to his wife. Everything will become exposed. So therefore, let us not take it as a joke also, and let us not lose hope also. Have great hope in the mercy and forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So this month of December that has come, and that is what I was going to speak about, but the line changed to something else, and I truly believe that whatever comes to my mind is beneficial for me or for you. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. But I was going to say that this is the month of December. Nobody says we mustn't have a holiday, we mustn't have some kind of enjoyment and some kind of entertainment if it is a holiday season. But it is not a festivity season for us. It's not a Christmas season for us. For the kuffar, for the mushrikeen, for the nasara, for whoever it is, they can call it the season of festivity, drinking, gambling, fornication, adultery, watching of porn sites, indulging in all kinds of haram. But for us, it is that remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Every step of ours, that He is watching us. Then within the parameters of Sharia, have a holiday, nobody stops us. Make use of the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with gratitude, and Allah Ta'ala will increase those bounties. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. Make the hajj of every haji who has returned and is returning maqbool, mabroor. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must accept the du'as that they made there on behalf of us and the Ummah. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must give them and us the tawfiq of become obedient to Him and His beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May He remove all the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of mankind around the globe, and especially the Ummat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.